It's been a soggy week on the island, my hometown, set here in California on the edge of the San Francisco Bay. It's been cooler than normal all year, even though this past summer and this winter has seen the return. The infamous Pineapple Express weather system recur as it does every 10 or 15 years in the Golden State. We got hit by a major dock walloper a few weeks ago, causing mudslides and floods in SoCal, and general misery throughout the state, leading to a series of storms one after another according to the old pattern and with no end in sight into the next year. Folks say, just look back to what happened in 1972 and by that you can tell the tourists from the old timers around here. The new president in Washington, D.C. has had his hands full for the past year, so thoughtfully given him by all his predecessors, and we have seen our own versions of political and economic troubles here as well. Mayor Beverly has left office due to term limits, an office she held in distinction as the first mayor to hold office without the Navy as major presence at the point. We got a new library, and a new Cineplex, and a new parking garage during her tenure. South Shore Mall saw a major facelift just as the Great Recession leapt among us, not unlike the wolves of Nebuchadnezzar among the children of Israel. Those of you who do not read the Holy Book need only know that the old King Neb was a vile man who tried to steal old persons' retirement funds and hand them over to private interests. He failed to help his people handle natural disasters like hurricanes. He appointed incompetent fools to high posts, and he started meaningless and costly foreign wars and believed in lunatic practices such as the unitary executive, which have long since been discredited by sane historians. The Great Recession has continued to ravage the lives and the business of the people who live on the island, same as elsewhere. There was more than a little whistling in the dark as it came around to the so-called Black Friday, which certain agencies began reporting as the best ever, starting right about 9 o'clock in the morning and continuing all day, but becoming ever more reticent into the following day. The editor failed again to contact the mayor of Lake Wobegon on several occasions, most notably when the august men in the red shoes came to speak at the War Memorial Opera House. One of our people was performing that night on stage, but she proved to be less than helpful as the editor arrived with Javier and Denby trying to enter the theater from the side door without paying admission, which caused the security man much grief, and so admission was denied. Impecunious circumstances persisted throughout the year around here, and our expeditions up north had to make do with MREs as provisions, and had to rely on the rule of the thumb for transport so as to get up there and contact the mayor of Lake Wobegon regarding this precious message concerning our ardently desired sister city status. By the time our messengers had reached the Bunsen household there in Minnesota, they presented such a bedraggled and disreputable appearance that it was no wonder the decent Christian folks there turned them back. Actually, it was the serving help up there on Summit Avenue, for the Bunsens themselves never directly had the opportunity to encounter our missives. So it was with despair and longing that our messengers trudged the long road back to California, which did involve a trek across the infamous Salt Basin of Nevada, sludging over the new snow on the Sierra Crest, and sloshing through the thunderstorms of winter to arrive soggy, despondent, and defeated. The editor was beside himself as the messengers straggled in. It had long been his desire to obtain respectability by attaching to somebody who already had a measure of that commodity. In vain, he inquired after the mayor of that unpronounceable county in Mississippi made famous by William Faulkner. Turned out a county in Mississippi did not possess a mayor. Same thing happened for Bloom County, where a famous penguin was noted for resting in a daisy patch. Then the famous mission to save Private Opus provided only a public spectacle of our conspicuous failure. Good night, Opus. Then it was on to Nuova Zembla, Gotham City, and any number of other famous locales, all refusing to negotiate. It came down to Lake Wobegon because of the editor's special frustrated dreams. To grow older, attended by the famous and the talented, to have fabulously beautiful Scandinavian women hanging upon one's arm as one told interesting stories and dispensed avuncular wisdom, while the world's intelligentsia and best of the best talents arrived to contribute to your own magnificent treasures, and in addition to go to work each day, dressed in bright red tennis shoes without anyone laughing at you. At least for that reason. Instead, we got old. That part we did all right. The Island Life offices are quiet on the night before the New Year. Chad, the mad scientist and HTML Java coder, stepped out early whistling a jaunty tune, for Chad was in the depths of winter, had fallen deeply, head over heels. Always a safer time to start one of those things, for in winter there are fewer distractions. Gradually, the staff turned off their machines and their lamps and headed for the door, leaving behind the holiday chicken wing fragments, soiled paper plates, and cups half filled with fizzy soda. So, on New Year's Eve, the staff all dismissed to their homes and families. The editor puts a vinyl disc of Edith Piaf songs on the old-fashioned phonograph player. He could get a CD of remastered work, but somehow the scratched old disc sounds better as he bends over his desk, his few remaining white hairs flying about his head in an aureole lit by the desk lamp, while all around there is darkness. Have to research this new comedy series at the High Street Cafe. So anyway, it's been a soggy week. The winter solstice passed by amid all of this storming hullabaloo. Old Gaia turned her face away from the sun, and everything has gone dark and cold for a while. The Dweeb Report, a mountain forecast issued by Howard Schechter out of Mammoth, predicted an overdue Pineapple Express way back in September, and sure enough, thunderstorms have been lining up across the Pacific from Hawaii with the regularity of boxcars rumbling into town every 2 days to unload. With all of the weather, the normally reclusive raccoon families took to the trees, then got pugnacious with several islanders and their dogs. With the landlords around here engaging in all kinds of construction projects, in fond hopes of driving high rents even higher in the spring, various undercellar and shed-dwelling creatures found themselves evicted out of doors and out of sorts, and with the Great Recession still in force, even Mother Nature got cranky. A dog walker, out for her usual, got startled when all of these pissed-off raccoons dropped down from the trees like so many U.S. Marines rappelling from Black Hawk helicopters, and the atavistic rules of Lex Talonis severely messed up somebody's hair during the melee. A couple weeks later, a squad of these insurgents burst through the doggy door of another islander's home, and a pitched battle ensued in the kitchen between the pint-sized bears and the homeowners with their two dogs. This past year has been full of tumult around the country, with its own fair share of disappointments after the rather lousy 2009. The island saw its own share of political mud-flinging and general decay as the Great Recession ground on. However, a bright ray was noted by many in that the insanely destructive juggernaut of gentrification, which has been destroying communities and towns all around the bay for the past few years, finally slammed on the brakes, at least for the time being. And the perverse urge to build, 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 build on every square inch of soil left fortuitously vacant had shackles placed upon it. It was actually a pleasure to wake up without the sound of jackhammers and construction and the delight of viewing the place pretty much as it had looked yesterday. The senior citizens, whom the developers would like to evict in favor of folks with disposable income, get to remain and entertain us with stories about the old days, and we get to keep a few of the more colorful yet impoverished artists around to liven up the place. So, in a way, it's really not as bad as all that. And there are some advantages to the situation. After all the screaming and yelling during the campaign season, the council members pretty much wound up shuffling chairs within City Hall. As Mayor Beverly steps down to take a council seat, councilperson Gilmore steps up to take the mayor's seat, Rob shifts over from managing the troubled hospital to manage the troubled city budget on the council. Councilpersons Frank and Doug step aside, as a matter of course, since they were the two most gifted with common sense, and Lord says we simply cannot have any talent lurking around. They might actually resolve something!